understood what it was to burn plan B. And they're sad to see that there are a lot of people, they come to God and they say, I'm going to try this church thing. And if it doesn't work, I got a plan B or a back door. But God says it don't work like that. I want you to burn plan B. I need to be plan A and no other plan. And if you allow me to be that in your life, I will do greater things you ever thought possible. There are a lot of people that they serve God with conditions. God, do this for me. And if he does it, I'm going to serve him. But if he doesn't, I got this little back door and plan B. I'm going to. But God says this morning, burn the boats. Burn every excuse to ever turn back to your old ways, because God wants to make you victorious. God wants you to live above your situation, not under your situation. There are some people, they're always under the circumstance. How you doing? Man, I'm struggling. How you doing? Man, I just keep going through it. Listen, God didn't call you to struggle. God, now that's okay. There are seasons where you will be discouraged. There will be seasons where you're not going to feel like fighting. But understand this, it shall pass. Whatever you go through today, God has an answer. God has a promise for your life, and he's called you to live victoriously. Years ago, I came to the conclusion I could never go back to my old lifestyle. I could never go back to who I used to be. And some of us got to settle that in our spirit this morning. I can't go back. I can't half step. I got to give my all. When you look at the scripture that we read, it's interesting because if you do a study on Hebrews chapter 10, the people were going through heavy opposition and heavy persecution. The persecution was so bad. Some of the believers were thinking of going back to their old lifestyle. And this is why we read the apostle, or we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews, but they say that the writer was trying to encourage them to not go back. And he begins to encourage the Hebrew people by telling them, do not cast away your confidence. And then he tells them, you now need perseverance. He goes on to tell them, the just shall live by faith. He also tells them that if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them, and that we are not of those that draw back to perdition. You know what that word perdition means? It means to waste. In other words, we don't go backwards to just waste. We don't go backwards just to be destroyed. But we are people that march forward. We are people that trust in God. In other words, the message that he was trying to get across was, don't give up. Don't lose heart. Don't look back. We are not of those that buckle under pressure. And listen, we have to develop backbone in the walk of God. We have to make sure that we are people that stand even when everything else is falling around us. Because the natural tendency is to take the path of least resistance. When we experience struggle or conflict, the natural thing is to go down the road that has least resistance. But listen, it's easier to run than it is to stand. It's easier to throw in the towel than it is to fight. And you know, when you look at that phrase, throwing in the towel, that's a boxing term. It's a boxing term that when a boxer is too beat up to continue, his coach throws in the towel because it's an acknowledgement of defeat. It's an acknowledgement of being tired. And I don't know about you, but Jesus is my coach. And I don't know that he would throw in the towel on me. I don't know that he would ask me to stop. Listen, you and I, we have a confident trust in Jesus Christ. We are not called to shrink back. We are called to fight. This is why in 1 Timothy 6:12 it says, fight the good fight of faith. Ephesians 6:10 tells us a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Now that's heavy stuff, because there is a devil. If you haven't noticed, most of you who made a commitment to follow God, all of a sudden you started experiencing opposition, right? I never understood that. Okay, God, I'm going to follow you. And all of a sudden it seemed like everything went out of whack. It seemed like everything came against me. Well, there's this word that you're going to experience called opposition. And opposition is the action of opposing, resisting, or combating. So in other words, this scripture, if you read further, it says, For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities and of unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You're involved in a spiritual battle. You're involved in a spiritual battle. This is why a lot of the times we battle in our mind. Discouragement. We battle opposition. We battle fatigue. Sometimes we battle hopelessness. Isn't that something? You know the truth, but yet sometimes we still feel hopeless. Right? Sometimes we feel like there's nowhere to run. There's nowhere to hide. And a lot of people get bottled up in struggle. But this morning, this is the good news. Luke 10:19 tells us this: Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Now listen, I'm not into ghosts and goblins, but I do understand that there are spirits. I do understand that demon possession is real. I hate to tell you, but yes, there is demon possession. There are spirits that are up against us. This is why when you can walk into your house, you can feel. Come on, somebody, who's ever been there? But I'm talking about, we got to be aware of this stuff. At first, it's all fun and games, and oh, yes, the Lord is good. But you got to understand, at some point, you're going to go against some opposition. You're going to be at a crossroads. You're either going to fight and stand for God, or you're going to go back to your old ways. This is why the Bible says Romans chapter 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that means fighting different. Understand this, the fight is not against your wife. The fight is not against your brother. Every now and then we start bickering and battling. Come on, somebody. Right? Attitudes come up. The fight is not within. The battle comes from without. God didn't call you to struggle, but he called you to be victorious. But in order to be victorious, we will have to take a stand and settle it in our hearts that no matter what comes my way, I'm not going to give up. What I want to do this morning is look real quickly at three men in the Bible, three of David's mighty warriors, who made this choice to stand. When odds were against them, they chose to stand. And as a result, the Bible tells us they became David's mighty men. 1 Samuel chapter 23, are you with me? And what I want to do is look at their life and look at a spiritual parallel that we can apply to our lives. The Bible says this in 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had: Joshib, Bashabeth, the Tachmonite chief among the captains. He was called the Dino the Esnite because he killed 800 men at one time. Now, his name is a little complicated, so I'm going to call him Joshib. Now, Joshib was the chief of David's captains, and his name meant, "Thou will make me wise." Now, Joshib was known for his wisdom and skill for using his spear. And we know this because some translation tells us that he grew the name. They called him Adino the Esnite. Now, what Adino the Esnite meant was his ornament and lover of his spear. Now, Joshib was known throughout all the country for his ability to fight. And the Bible tells us that he killed 800 men. Now, how was it that he was so successful in battle? He understood the power of his weapon. If you were going to be a soldier of the Lord, you got to understand the power of your weapons. See, the spiritual lesson is this. The spiritual lesson we can learn from his life, if we're going to be victorious, we have to understand the power of our weapons. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says this, "For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." You can't bring a knife to a gunfight. You got to know the weapons of your warfare. Your weapons of your warfare are not against flesh and blood, but your weapons of your warfare, listen to me, the word of God, prayer, fasting, perseverance, faith, hope, love, and even joy. Did you know that joy is a weapon of the Lord? Yeah, because even though all hell is breaking loose and everything is falling apart around me, if I smile, come on somebody, that brings strength to someone else, because people will wonder, how in the world can everything be falling apart around them and they're still serving, they're still trucking, they're still smiling? Well, the Bible tells me that in the presence there is fullness of joy. So chances are, if someone's going through some things and they're smiling on the outside, they've been spending time in prayer, they've been in their word, and as a result, joy is seen. Now listen, for many of us, we gotta understand this, because people watch us, and I never understood this, a believer or a Christian that was never happy. I don't get that. There's people that I work with, I never knew they were believers. Always mad. Always talking crazy. Come on, somebody. Always talking about somebody. Always upset. But listen, you and I, the weapons of our warfare are different. In other words, we can't deal with things the way we used to deal with things, right? And there are some that we got to change the way that we think. We got to change our approach. In our church, I talk about conflict resolution. I encourage people, settle your differences. Don't talk about each other. Learn to resolve conflict, because many of us, we don't know any other way. We're just going to get angry and frustrated. Before you know it, we're going to snap. In the house of God, we should learn to deal with our differences. And we can't deal with them in the flesh. We got to deal with them with love, with perseverance, with patience, with hope, and with love. See, the weapons of our warfare are divine and have the ability to pull down spiritual strongholds. And they cast down anything that try to rise itself above God. In other words, when pride tries to rise itself, listen, humility sets in. Why? Because we've been reading the word of God. We've been in prayer. We have a different spirit about us. Why? Because we understand the weapons of our warfare. And if you are going to be victorious, listen, you got to spend time in prayer. You have to get into your word. Sunday morning is not good enough. You have to learn to search the word out, because when you go through it, listen, the Bible says that the word of God is like a double-edged sword, and it can cut through any thought, any bone and marrow. Listen, anything that comes up, it has the ability to, when you start feeling doubt, it has the ability to slice through doubt. When you start feeling anxious, the word of God has the ability to slice through even the worst thoughts. When we look at Joseph's life, he was known for the power, because he understood the power of his weapon. Whatever happened to taking our Bible everywhere we go? I remember when I got saved, I used to be like, this is my sword, this is my 22. Come on, somebody. I had a little 22 in the car. Come on, somebody. Nowadays, like Bibles are like beautiful and neat. Come on, somebody. Show me someone's Bible who's falling apart, and I'll show you someone who isn't. Show me someone whose Bible, look, my Bible, I ain't gonna lie to you. I got pages. Hello. I don't want to fall apart. I live with this thing. I don't just study to preach a message. I study it for my life. I study it so that I can be victorious and understand what the word says. Understand the power of your weapon. When you look at the next soldier, his name was Eleazar. And Eleazar, I like him because he aligned himself with his leader. He was with David. And as a result, he had a fighting spirit, 2 Samuel 23:9 says this about Eleazar. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahawite, as one of the three mighty warriors. He was with David when they taunted the Philistines and gathered at Pas Damim for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground, struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. Then the Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Here you have a man that's standing with his leader. He's standing with David. And everyone runs. The Bible even uses the word retreat. Now, what does it mean to retreat? It's the act of withdrawing, shrinking back, or running away. But the Bible says that when everyone else ran, Eleazar stood his ground. I love the King James Version because it says this: he arose and smote the Philistines, and his hand froze onto the sword. Two things we can learn about Eleazar and apply them in a spiritual sense to our life. Eleazar did not live on defense, he was on the offense. When everyone else ran, this man rose. That word rose, it means to attack. In other words, he didn't wait for the fight to come to him. He went out and fought first. He went out and he stood his ground. And there are some that we simply live our life on the defense, barely getting by. And God says, I didn't call you to barely get by. I called you to be victorious. I called you to be a light to the world. Matthew 11:12 says this: from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God of heaven suffers violence, and the violent men take it by force. Well, listen, God is looking. We're looking, even in the church, we're looking for men that will say, I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand for what is right. I'm going to stand for what is right. I don't care if the world does it. I'm going to stand on the word of truth, and I will preach the word of God. I'm going to love on people. I'm going to tell people about the joy and the blessed hope that there is in Jesus Christ, come hell or high water. And understand this, we're living in the last days. As believers, man, we have it good. We go overseas. Christians are literally being beheaded for their faith. Pastors going to jail, being seized, beaten, flogged. Children dying because they believe in God. And sometimes you gotta really think of what we go through here in America. Everything's liberal. Everything's liberal. Did you know that if we're not careful, we can become a product of our environment? This is why, again, sticking to your word. Sticking to your word. Some of you, when everything goes on and everything comes against you, you got to cling to the sword of the Spirit, which is number two. That's the second thing we can learn and we can adapt. This man, the Bible says, he fought until his hand froze to the sword. But you and I, we have a sword of the Spirit. Ephesians 6:17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit. When your back is against the wall, hang on to the word of God. When you don't know what to do, get into the word of God. And if you're too weak to get into the word of God, listen to some messages. Do what you have to do to listen to the word of God. Because the Bible says, faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Eleazar understood where his power came from. You know what's interesting about Eleazar's name? His name means God has helped. Eleazar understood where he drew his strength from. And nothing will give you more strength for the battle than the word of God. Isaiah 54:17 tells us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. The third soldier that the Bible mentions says this. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agi, a Hararite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Now, I really like Shammah Because the Bible tells us that here the Philistine armies banded together at this field full of lentils. Now the odds were already stacked against the army of Israel, so the Bible tells us that they fled. In other words, when the Philistines showed up, they showed up with an attempt to take Shammah's lunch money. And Shammah said, not today. He said, not today. As everyone else ran, he strategically went into the center of the field and waited. Now I have an imagination. I don't know what the scene looks like, but I watch a lot of Gladiator 300 type movies. Come on, somebody. And I picture, I don't know if he thought about running, but I could picture him standing. I don't know about you, but if somebody runs on me, I'm probably just going to look at them in disgust. Come on, somebody. He probably looked, and he seen the Philistine army and said, not today. Not today. Somewhere, Shammah made the decision, I'm going to fight. The fact that he fought for the field full of lentils tells you a few things. The field of lentils was a food supply to the people. So he said, not only are you affecting me, but you're affecting everyone I care about. He was willing to fight for insignificant rewards. He was willing to fight for everyone else. I wonder if there are any men in here that are willing to take a stand and fight for their families. I'm wondering if there are any men that would rise and say, I will fight not only for my family, but I'm going to fight for your family too. I'm going to hold you up in prayer. I'm going to lift up your hands. Hey, listen, if you're going through it and you're having problems with your children, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to believe God for the impossible. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but know this, God, I believe with all my heart, is going to bring people into your life that will fight with you. What can we learn from Shammah? There's a few things. First of all, he placed himself in the middle of the field and defended it. And I was really just praying, and the Lord was ministering to my heart that there are some, you have to make the decision to stop running. Stop running from your problems. It's time to deal with some issues. See, Shammah understood that the victory was from the Lord. And I love it because after he placed himself in the center, the Bible says that God brought about a great victory. And I believe that there are some, you're going through a lot, but God says stop running and place yourself in the center of the trial. Place yourself in the middle. Stop asking me to take the trial, but put yourself in the center. And it's when you start dealing with issues in your life that God's going to bring a victory, because you cannot run from your problems. You can mask it. You can bury it. You can act like it's not there. But rest assured, some way, somehow, it's going to rise to the top. There will be times that the odds will be against you. But you got to deal with things internally. I made a decision years ago that I would deal with my issues. I would deal with my anger. Come on, somebody. There are some that you battle anger. And that's a spirit that you got to get control of. You can't allow it to rule your life. You know what what trips me out is that when I look at the character of Moses, the Bible tells us that God spoke to him as a friend. And the Bible says that to prophets he speaks in riddles and dreams, and then it actually says this, that not Moses, I speak to him as a friend. And the single quality that separated him was faithfulness. So here you have a man that God spoke to as a friend, but catch this, he wasn't able to enter into the promised land because of his anger. God said, speak to the rock, and he struck the rock. And some of us got to deal with those type of issues now. We got to deal with anger. No more running. No more blowing up. No more fighting. Come on, somebody. What about unforgiveness? What about unforgiveness? What about offense? What about hatred? What about prejudice? Prejudice isn't always about the color of our skin. Prejudice can be towards a number of things. What about learning to be patient? Patient. Some of us lack patience. And as a result, we blow it all the time. But God says, I need you to deal with your patience now, right? Patience is the willingness to suppress restlessness and irritation when you experience delay. You have to be willing to suppress your restlessness and irritations. I might irritate you, but suppress your restlessness. Suppress your irritation for the sake of being patient with me. You might irritate me. Come on, somebody. These are real issues that need to be dealt with because it affects our relationships. It affects our households. And understand this, it affects your children. I'm already looking at my little sons and they have tendencies that I have. And sometimes I get upset with them. There are things that they see me do. There's more at stake. Like produces like. And we have to be careful to deal with these issues that are inside of us. God doesn't give his toughest battles to his toughest soldiers. He creates the toughest soldiers through life's hardest battles. And if you're going through something, I believe that God's trying to create you to be a mighty man, a mighty woman that will stand on his word. For some this morning, it's simple. You just have to stand. A big part of being victorious, listen to me, it's settling in your heart early. Whatever happens, I will not turn back. Whatever happens, I can't go back to who I used to be. No matter what happens, there is no shrinking back. Ephesians 6:13 says this, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. See, no retreat, no surrender is a mindset of commitment and determination. It's a mindset that says, I will not run. I will not quit. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stand. And this morning, there are some of you that you might feel like running. There's a few of you, you might feel like throwing in the towel, but I came to encourage you with the same words of the Hebrew writer. Do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance now, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise for yet a little while. And he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those that draw back. We are not of those that draw back. We're not of those that run from our issues. We're not of those that draw back to the old lifestyle. But we are the ones that believe to saving of the soul. We believe in the God that rose from the dead. The one that overcame it all. The same power that's in Jesus lives in you, lives in me. And as a result, I can face anything. Why? Because he overcame it all. I just got to give it to him now. Listen, it's time to deal with some things. Maturity comes after we've been through some warfare. Spiritual maturity comes after we've faced a few things and we've been able to stand on God's word. It's too easy to run. It's too easy to go back. But I encourage you this morning, don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw it all away. Trust God. Make a commitment. No matter what happens, I will not retreat. I will not surrender. I will stand for the Lord. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. This morning, as you bow your heads, I know I was all over the place this morning, but I believe there are lessons that we can learn from people of old. And I believe that there are some this morning you're battling. It's time to stand. It's time to fight. Listen, fathers, we have to fight for our families. We have to live by example. It does no good to know the Word of God front and back if we can't live it out. Listen, Mom, it doesn't matter how much we know the Word or how much we pray if we can't live it out. And this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I don't know where you're at, but I can't help but sense that there are some you need to be encouraged this morning. Hallelujah. Just focus on the Lord for the next few moments. Hallelujah. This morning, if you're here, with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, Pastor Eric, I have been going through some things, and the thought has crossed to go back, but I know there's nothing back there for me, and I need strength now. If that's you, lift your hand and quickly put it down. I just want to pray for you. God bless 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 you. Maybe you're here this morning, and at one point you had a fight inside of you, but the world had its way of bringing its pressures, and as a result, you've shrunk back. And if you're here this morning and you say, no more shrinking back, I want to take a stand for what's right, lift your hand and quickly put it down. God bless you. 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 God bless you.